It's a very good afternoon and welcome. This is the session on end-to-end SQL Server Master Data Services. My name is Peter Myers. I'm an independent BI consultant. I've worked with Microsoft products for many, many years. And it's been a very interesting career that has evolved alongside SQL Server in the very early days of business intelligence with OLAP services. DTS might bring back some fond or not so fond memories. And in more recent times, evolving with the Power BI story and keeping it all together with the SQL Server story. You know, MDS is a service that it's come in very handy in a couple of projects. And so some years back, I noted that nobody was really talking about this with due emphasis. And so I put together this 75-minute session, which is the typical length of a conference outside of New Zealand. And I'm somehow going to compress it into a 60-minute session and compress it even a little bit further because we're going to add in what's coming new in the SQL Server 2016 release. All right, so I'll excuse myself up front that there will be a reasonable pace. I've got a lot to talk about and a lot to demonstrate. And the outline of the session detailed here is basically I'm going to begin with what is master data management. From there, we'll introduce SQL Server MDS, and we'll take a look at it from a point of view of the development lifecycle, how we can develop and then manage solutions, and then we'll come back and add, and in some cases, subtract from that knowledge as to what will be delivered with SQL Server in 2016. Let's start with some definitions. Master data management, the subject here. If you go to Wikipedia, the trusty source on the internet, we'll learn that it comprises a set of processes, governances, policies, standards, and tools that will allow you to consistently define and manage your master data. So what is master data? The example that I'm going to use today is to do with geography. And if you think about perhaps your own data, you'll find that you have multiple systems that independently store and define geographic definition. Now, as a business intelligence expert, I will tell you the frustration comes later when you attempt to consolidate and integrate this data and then consistently analyze by filtering or grouping by geographic entities. And all of a sudden, you discover that the way that CRM defines your geography and the way your sales systems do, it just doesn't match. And so you're not able to easily compare metrics from different subject areas with their origins coming from different systems. The trick here is to use a master data solution to define geography, to maintain that, and then have the other systems conform with that definition. All right, so it's about taking control of your data, making your data work to your organization's advantage. A successful solution should deliver a master data hub that provides this authoritative, standardized, and validated versions of data to support the business intelligence within the organization. So it can address multiple different problems. In the BI world, we truly understand that no authoritative source of data leads to untrusted reports, or if they are foolishly trusted, they result in poor decisions. This could come about because systems with different versions have the same data, or data is spread across multiple systems lacking integrity or consistency. Could be that mergers and acquisitions mean that you've inherited a whole new data system with a different way that it defines its geography. Another frustration could be when you deliver cubes or tabular models to the business is that those that need the data and need to manage the definition of the data have no control formally over the hierarchies that you're making available to them. There could be multiple stakeholders for the same record. So who is going to manage it? Who's going to change it when they think it needs to be changed? And is one overwrite upsetting somebody else within the business? And there could also be the inability to enable, monitor, and enforce data stewardship processes. Is there anybody in the room today that would consider themselves to be a data steward? Is your name Steward? I have one hand come up, just in case. Your name's not Steward. No. What is a data steward? You'll probably find there's not a formal role. There's no business card that says it's John who is the data steward in the organization. But it certainly is somebody that is in charge of good quality data. All right, so you'll probably find it's not somebody from the IT department, it's somebody from the business itself that knows how geography or customers or products should be defined. All right, so that person or group of people are the ones that need not just the skills but also the tools to enable them to maintain good quality, consistent data. Let's then, with that background, introduce SQL Server and Master Data Services. It falls nicely into the three services that, from a marketing perspective, we refer to as EIM, Enterprise Information Management. These sits alongside integration services. Master Data Services then fits in with data quality services. So they have been defined at some level to work together to deliver enterprise information management. In a concise way, I like to describe that by using the four C's of complete, clean, consistent, and current data. So of the four C's, it's Master Data Services that is there to deliver consistency for your data. A little bit of history here. With SQL Server 2016, we will be unofficially arriving at version 4 of the product. First released in SQL Server 2008 R2, it was somewhat immature, and according to some, including myself, it probably wasn't ready for release at that stage. In fact, it was buggy, unstable, and had a lot of severe performance issues. So it was in the SQL Server 2012 issues that a lot of that customer feedback was incorporated to provide a more rich and stable platform. In 2014, there were absolutely no changes made, apart perhaps from some bug fixes. And what I have to share with you at the end of this session is that 2016 offers a number of new and very interesting capabilities that extend the core set that you have available to you today with 2012 and 2014. Note that it's available only with the Business Intelligence and Enterprise editions of SQL Server. Architecturally, it's implemented as a WCF data service, and Microsoft provide two front-end experiences, and of course, being a service, you can extend and develop and integrate as you see fit within your own applications. The prerequisites are that you have a SQL Server database engine to host the MDS database, and that you have IIS, Internet Information Services, to host the service, and one of the two interfaces, which is the Master Data Manager web application. This web application requires Silverlight, and even into 2016, it will continue to require Silverlight. This is the tool that most administrators and those configuring the service will become familiar with. It does provide capabilities to explore and manage master data, but also provides the richest user interface to maintain definitions and metadata. Very, very cool is that the other add-in experience is with Excel. Here is an add-in available for free download. You can extend Excel 2007 or above. And this is really targeted to the business, to those data stewards, to connect to and maintain the master data by using the familiar tool of Excel. So let's take a look at a sample implementation. The old-fashioned approach when we come to the ETL into a data warehouse is to take data from a source system, extract, transform, and load. And we'd ask you to reconsider this in certain scenarios. By installing Master Data Services, you can take that source data. Using a tool perhaps like Integration Services, you can initialize a Master Data solution. So you might choose the most dominant system that correctly defines geography, for example. Moving forward then, users, be them administrators, data stewards, general users, can connect to the service by using either of those two interfaces. They can then maintain the master data. We can also configure it with notifications. If business rules are broken, people can be notified of this. And then you can adapt your ETL process to retrieve from the master data service, not from the source system directly. All right, there are many variations on this. This is a classic, let's interrupt the classic ETL from source system by referring to a system that maintains good quality, consistent data. All right, moving into the topic then of developing master data services solutions, we'll begin with defining that the basic unit is a model. So when you install the service, the administrator will come in, create a model, typically domain specific. This could be my geography model. And then the objects we define within the model are entities, and these are defined in terms of attributes. So what you'll pick up quite quickly is that there are direct parallels to relational database design. Instead of a relational database, we have a model. Instead of tables, we have entities. Instead of attributes, we have, or rather, instead of columns, we have attributes. Couple of rules here that every entity must have a code and must have a name attribute. They are mandatory, and both of them are NVARCHAR 250s. The code must contain unique values, so there's your primary key. Let's switch into demonstration. And the first demonstration I have for you is an existing Visual Studio project I have a Sales Analysis MD project here. This is a multi-dimensional analysis services project. Once deployed, produces a cube. I'm going to go ahead and browse the salesperson dimension. And I have a hierarchy here for salespeople. I just want to point out that when I go to the Pacific, we have one country, Australia. What database is this based on? Anyone pick up very familiar looking data? My favorite database, AdventureWorks. Why is it my favorite? I do a lot of demonstrations, educational content, training. And when it comes to producing, you know, real world-ish data that's easy for a general audience to understand, that AdventureWorks fits the bill very well. Microsoft spent a lot of money producing a database that reflected real world challenges. Now, I'm wondering why you people aren't a little outraged that New Zealand never made it into the AdventureWorks database. Does anyone feel that sense of annoyance that they've been overlooked by such an important database? Probably. No. Maybe. Okay. Well, look, I'm here to solve the problem by using Master Data Services to implement a solution that defines and maintains geography, but also extends it to include New Zealand data. So by the time I arrive at the last demonstration, I should return here, refresh a reprocessed dimension, and show you that New Zealand as a sales territory belongs to the Pacific. And not just that, when I go to the reseller and browse it, it has a geography dimension, and you'll see that New Zealand is not here either, for now. All right, my first demo then will be to work with Excel. The add-in has been downloaded and installed. And as evidence of that, we find that we have the master data tab on the ribbon. Don't ask me why the other's in capital and master data is in lowercase. I think that's one of the big fixes that will come in 2016. Wearing two hats here. We don't have a model just yet. So here in Master Data Manager, as a web application, I come to System Administration, and I get to type in the name of a new model. AdventureWorks BI. I just want an empty model. Don't create any entities for me. By clicking Save, the next step typically would be to switch down to user and group permissions and grant appropriate privileges to those in the business that need read or read-write access. I'm working with administrative permissions, so I have that. I'm going to come in by using the add-in in Excel, and I'm going to create a new connection to the service. Connect. And then here in the Explorer, I can switch to the model. Note that models have versions. By default, version 1 has an open status, and we'll talk about version management shortly. Let me then go ahead and open an existing database that has the data that I will use to initialize the model. Geography. And I think I need to connect again. So you'll notice there are three worksheets. The three different levels we have for geographic definition go from country, region, down to state, province, then down to city. Let's start with country, region. I have a table established. Note that New Zealand is defined here. Having selected the table using the master data ribbon, I create an entity. Which model, which version of the model, what will be the name of the entity? Country, region looks good. The mandatory code, so you'll see that column A has the country, region code, and optionally I'll put the English country, region name as the name. And simply by clicking OK, communicates with the service, defines the entity, and uploads the range of data to initialize the membership of that entity. And then you'll notice that it adds a new worksheet to the workbook, which reflects a query to show us what the data looks like. And in fact, row 1 gives you the complete status. What service, what model, what version, what entity, and when was it retrieved? Now, by selecting one of the user-defined attributes, this one being French country name, I can come to attribute properties, and I can modify things like type, and for text, the width. So takeaway so far is you can, with relative ease, create entities and initialize their membership. I'm going to go ahead and delete the worksheet with no concern that I'm actually deleting the master data. It's simply a snapshot of what the master data was. And then I come down to the state province and I do exactly the same thing. Note that the state province ID is the concatenation of the country name and the unique identifier of the state. You must have a single unique column, so you may be forced to prepare your data to provide that single unique value for each row. Now, in this case, we have the country region name here, and it's a free-form text entry at this point. But as you'd well appreciate from relational design, that when we want to control the values in a column, we do this through a foreign key. The equivalent of a foreign key in master data services is what's known as a domain-based lookup. And so here I say just use what is found within the country region. And then you'll find that that is reflected then in the result by providing this data validation concept that you can choose from a predefined country. State province code, I'm going to switch this to 3 characters at max. And then for the sales territory region, we can use the approach of a domain-based lookup and create an entire new entity. So I'll name this sales territory region. And essentially what it does is it takes all of the unique values found within that attribute and it creates a whole new entity based on that. Okay, so of interest to note then that so far, I have 3 entities created within the model and they've been initialized with data. Now you guys create a little bit of a problem because you guys don't have states. So typically the way we conform that is by creating a state with the name of the country. So today it will be New Zealand the country, New Zealand the state, and then all cities within that state. The last level then with city, I don't have a unique column here, so you can fall back to the generate code automatically. And of course, this is the equivalent of the identity column within a SQL Server table. And then I'll use the city name. All right, state province, we'll constrain it by the state province. And then postal code and the IP are both maximum 15 characters. So that's really step one. The creation of a model, delegation of permission to those that need to work with that model, and then using a tool like Excel, we can create, refine the definition of an entity and load data. Now the next thing I can show is that you can also insert data. So I'm going to append to the bottom of this list that we need the city of Auckland. Drop-down list, I'll choose New Zealand. So this one's a little frustrating. Do you see the sort order? It might be a little small, but the sort order is it's sorting by name, but it's showing us the code first. That sounds like it needs to be fixed in a future release, I think. All right, postcode. Note the color coding there. This is a new member. Simply go ahead and publish. You can annotate. I'll choose not to now. Publish the change. And then Auckland has been added into the master list. Do we see it? What if we filtered this by New Zealand only? There it is, assigned with 656 as the unique identifier. Now, as an alternative, to manage your master data, you can also achieve this in Master Data Manager, switching across to the model of AdventureWorks BI, navigating across to the Explorer. This is where the Silverlight comes in. You'll find then using the web interface, you may toggle between the different entities within your model. So let me go down to State Province, for example. And bear in mind that you may have millions of members here, so filtering is often the step you'll take. I'm interested where the state province code is like anything beginning with the letter W, apply. Now the state of Washington in the US, something's not quite right here. If you look at the right-hand pane where the details are listed, can anyone work out what's not right here? State. Northeast, right. So Seattle's right up there in the northwest. So we've found a problem. Let's go ahead and fix that. Northwest, click OK. You can even view the complete transactional history about how it was initialized and when and who changed attribute values. So automatically out of the box, you've got great security and great history and the ability to annotate on top. Point out also that there are these icons here. The green tick is telling us it's passed validation. And I want to have this in a deeper discussion and demo about what business rules can do. The ones that were initialized have got a question mark saying they're suspect. They've not yet been validated against business rules. But for whatever reason, Washington was, because we made the update here in the UI and no business rules have been defined, so of course it must have passed. Let me switch across to city. We could use this interface also to add in another city like Wellington. And as simple as that, I've maintained the entity by creating a new city. That is my beginning demo on developing a master data solution. Let's take it to a new level by exploring how we can maintain good quality data. So in the relational world, we can achieve this through constraints. Check constraints, unique constraints, etc. The way we achieve it in master data services is by defining business rules. We can use conditions to isolate that only certain rules should apply to certain members. We can also launch external workflows in response to changes. And notifications can also be made by email to say that rules have been broken and they can be sent to different audiences. So let's switch back and continue with the design of this solution. The rules that I'll add will be that we want to ensure that certain attributes have values. So the equivalent would be a column in a SQL Server table that doesn't allow nulls. The other one would be that the IP address is a valid IP address. So these must be defined in Master Data Manager. I come down to System Administration, Manage Business Rules. Has a good think about it. Which entity? Let's go for the city. Now, you can think of your entities like hierarchies. So if you only see that you have an attribute with a leaf, it says that it's a flat structure. And we're going to talk about hierarchies and demonstrate those in a moment. So applying to all of the leaf members, in other words, all of the cities, let's go ahead and add a business rule. And one business rule is added automatically with the very uninteresting name of new rule. So let me simply change that to required values. And then I edit the rule. And this is, I confess, a little clumsy. The way that you have to define these rules, it's not terribly intuitive until through trial and error you work it out. But let me just explore here that you've got logical operators so you can have compound expressions, conditions, and numerous actions. So the action of interest here, of course, will be a validation action that something is required. If I don't specify an if, then it applies to all leaf members of the attribute or the entity in this case. So is required, then I'll drag name down to here. So then it becomes is required name. Click save, and then you see it's here. And I'm just going to have to repeat this a couple of times. I need the next one, which would be state province. You must remember to click save. And then I'll build up two more. Is required for the postal code. And is required, lastly, for the IP address locator. Once done, you click the back arrow in the top left. And that you'll see you have a rule with priority 10. Now, you can build up a list of rules and control the order in which they should be tested. I'm going to add then a second rule to validate the IP address. And edit it. So under actions, we've got the must contain the pattern. And so for it then, it will be for the IP address locator. And then I'm going to use a regular expression, which is here ready to copy. Two rules for the one entity, both of them with a status of activation pending, so they don't apply at this stage until they've been published. And for the second rule, I'm going to set up a notification, and because I've configured the service to communicate via the SMTP server, email notifications can be sent, in this case, if the rule of valid IP address is broken. And it should send to the email address of the administrator. And now that I'm done, I'll go ahead and publish. And then that rule is in effect for the city entity. So at this stage, it might be nice to have a peek about what's going on down there in the MDS database. So a word of warning, anything that's in the MDM schema is sort of like off limits. It's used by the service itself. Anything outside of that, so specifically, we have a schema down here, which is the staging schema. And so what you'll note is that all four entities have a staging table. And you'll learn shortly and see in demonstration that this is how we can load data in bulk. All right, if I come down to stored procedures, the business rule that I just defined has been, in fact, implemented as this MDM stored procedure. So should we edit this stored procedure? Should we alter it? There's that regex. What do you think? MDM schema defined user stored procedure? No, not supported. All right, but I do know of cases where if you absolutely know what you're doing, you might find some efficiency that you might be able to tweak something here. And I guess the rule would be, while it's not supported, but if you know what you're doing and you're testing what you're doing and you're not breaking any interfaces, then yes, you could, but it's not supported, right? How do we get to use this rule? Let's switch back to the Explorer and take a look again at the cities. So here we have the ability to apply rules. First of all, check the status, and we learn that there are 657 members that have a status of awaiting revalidation. In fact, that's what this question mark icon says. These are all suspect until they've passed the business rule test. So to apply the rules, we can do it procedurally or through the interface. We can do it here. Let's apply to everything. And let's come back then and check the status, and we learn that everything passed with the exception of one member. Failed validation. And it's very easy to find this because we come to the filter and we can filter down by validation status. Let's see where it's equal to validation failed. And we can learn here that New York failed, and the reason would be, and you can see right down here, the rule that was broken was this one here. All right, up here, the first octet, 303, invalid. Let's go ahead and fix it. And now you'll see that the business rule has been reapplied, and now this is valid data. What would this look like from the Excel side? I have a question here. If multiple fail, would you get to see just the first or all of them? You get to see all of them, as I'll demonstrate here. So here I'm in Excel, let me connect to, and let me load in the cities. So by using the Explorer, I can select the entity. If you double click it, it's going to open all members of that entity. Now, what do you think is going to happen if you have millions and millions of cities to find? Does Excel have limits? I think it does. All right, so it has 1,048,576 rows, so one minus it because of a header. That's about the maximum you're going to load. So the common thing you're going to do is select your entity and then come up on the master data ribbon and filter. You can filter vertically by removing attributes or horizontally, as I'll demonstrate here, by filtering. So where the state province code is equal to, and let's go ahead and select. Now, don't you find this annoying? You've got this code and name within curly brackets. Something we'll come back to later. Let's go and load the data in for what we currently have for New Zealand cities. And let's go ahead and add in Christchurch. And be a little bit forgetful by not putting in a postal code or IP address. So when I publish this, we're breaking here how many rules? Two? Three. I would suggest. Okay, validation's failed. By hovering over the comment that's been added to the cell here, you get to see the three rules are in violation. So we can then come in here and say that's the postal code. Let's put in a bad one and see what happens. I think you know what's going to happen. Publish again. So I'm just the one. So we can protect the quality of our data even at input time. And this is achieved with business rules. Any questions about those? One more question. Ooh, okay, tricky question. If I go and modify that stored procedure and have it add another attribute, what's going to happen? Well, I guess if you get the code exactly right, it would just work. Now, when you go to edit it, I'm not sure the designer and its metadata would be in sync with the stored procedure. I would guess it would not. So the next time you edit and republish, you would overwrite your changes. All right. Next slide. So on the topic still of developing our solution, hierarchies. So I made mention that there's no formal capability for business users or data stewards to manage the hierarchies that are expressed in cubes and data models. Now, there are two types of hierarchies that are supported today. There's the derived and the explicit. And the derived is very straightforward because if you think about the constrained lists that I defined, the country regions can have multiple state provinces, multiple state provinces can have multiple cities. This implies a hierarchy, these one-to-many relationships. So a derived hierarchy is simply formalizing under a unique name the paths that could be used between entities. An explicit is, as it suggests, where you are controlling the placement of members. So here is a flattened list of sales territory regions, and yet we have a structure of groups and countries that they should fit within. So let me go ahead and demonstrate how both can be applied to your designs. These are done within Master Data Manager. So here under System Administration, Managing Derived Hierarchies. For your chosen model, come up with a name. This will be the Geography Hierarchy. Click Save, and then you have access to all of the entities, and it's a drag and drop to produce the derived hierarchy. You start from, interestingly enough, the bottom up. So starting with city, drag, drop. Note we only have one choice. The only path would be to state province, and yet the path from state province could go two ways. Is it the sales territory or is it the country region? Note then on the right-hand side, you have a preview. So we can see here that within my home country of Australia, within my home state of Victoria, we have these members. And in New Zealand, we have the three members that we've loaded so far. That's pretty straightforward. There's nothing more to do. The derived hierarchy has been created. Now, for the explicit hierarchy, it's actually a property of the entity itself. And the property is, do you have, yes or no, an explicit hierarchy? And by default, that setting is no. So let's come to the sales territory region and edit this entity. And this is where you'll find enable explicit hierarchy. And when you enable it, what will be its name? And one more option is it mandatory, yes or no? If it's mandatory, then every Leaf member must appear in the hierarchy. If it's non-mandatory, you may exclude some. Let's leave it as mandatory. To maintain this hierarchy, you need to return to the Explorer. So that implies that this is a function not of the administrator. It's more of the business that is maintaining the membership of the entities. Here under hierarchies, if you do go and edit the derived geography hierarchy, it's simply providing you an easy way to navigate the hierarchy and also to edit the members. All right, but you cannot change the structure of them. They are based on the constrained lists. Now for the explicit, essentially, on the left-hand side, you're going to see every Leaf member coming from the entity of sales territory. Now, when I switch across to show me consolidated members, these are going to be upper-level members, we have none. And I'm going to add in four. To replicate what AdventureWorks does, they have three groups: North America, Europe, and then Pacific. And then within North America, they have United States and Canada. So we already have Canada in the leaf set, but we do not have United States. And then you'll notice on the left side then that consolidated members are easily identified because they're in bold. Our job then is to create the hierarchy, and it's achieved in two ways. The first approach is that you can drag and drop. So if I drag United States on top of North America, there's the relationship. Same with Canada. I've discovered it's far easier if you take Germany, France, United Kingdom, if you check them and then cut them, select Europe as the parent and then paste them. Australia and New Zealand then belong to Pacific. And the remainder are all regions of United States. And that is the hierarchy maintenance supported for explicit hierarchies within the product. Any questions about the hierarchies? Reasonably straightforward. Okay. That was my demo then on enhancing the solution with both business rules and applying those rules and then defining and configuring hierarchies. The next section then is about managing your master data solution. So data stewards and administrators can manage permissions to control access to both functionality and data. So when you consider that the main menu you will see on Master Data Manager gives us Explorer, System Administration, Integration, and Version Management, you can configure permissions at that high level. Can they do exploration? Can they do version management and so on? The other area beyond functionality is the data itself, right down to attributes, entities, and even the hierarchies. All right, so the topic there on working with permission management is that they're assigned to Windows users and groups. They allow you to enable or deny access to functionality or to model objects and to hierarchy members. And the combination of model object and hierarchy members can achieve pretty close to cell level security, although it's not perfect. All right, so we'll address this in the new features coming up in 2016. There is greater granular control over managing access and permissions to data. There is a problem today that you can only have one administrator for the entire instance. And that is a big problem, especially if that administrator leaves your organization. All right, so that has been addressed in 2016 also. Let's move to the topic then of data integration with a focus on how data can be automated and loaded within a master data solution. And this is achieved through entity-based staging. And with every entity that is created within the model, within the staging schema, there is an entity table. And you'll see it because it has the name of the entity underscore leaf. If you enable explicit hierarchies, you will gain two additional staging tables, one for consolidated, one for relationship. And as you can see there, you could load consolidated members, and then the second table would be used to define the relationships, so you don't have to use that interface. If you have sufficient data, you can push into these staging tables to define new members of entities and explicit hierarchies. Data can be loaded in any method. They're just SQL Server tables. So whether it's integration services or your tool of choice, you just need to get the right data into these staging tables. And then there are stored procedures that you can invoke to go ahead and load and then validate that data into the model. So think about this. It doesn't have to be a human interactive experience to load or maintain the data within. You might have it that in CRM, when you load a new customer, overnight you have a process that ETLs into the staging processes and then automates the loading within the master data model. Let's take a look at this in demonstration. So we're using integration management, but in fact, in this demonstration, I'm going to do everything through T-SQL. So I have a script here that's going to load in additional New Zealand cities. Let's take a look at them here in CSV. Additional 12 cities, or I think 11 cities that I need to load in. So the script here is pretty straightforward. It's going to create a temporary table to capture the city name, postal code, and IP address. I then use a bulk insert to load from the CSV. We can take a look at the data. Yep, there's 11 new cities that need to be loaded. Now here I am loading into the staging table for city. Couple of constants. The constant one for the import type represents a new member is being loaded. But if you refer to the documentation, there's the ability to remove, change the code of, or to update. Optionally, you can use a batch tag. So you might be loading lots of data in here, but you only want to process and integrate certain subsets. So you may identify them through an optional batch tag. We know the state code is New Zealand, so we've hard-coded it. So let me load all of that data into the staging table. And this is what it looks like. I can get rid of the temporary data. And here is the store procedure to then load the data into the model. Lastly, we might choose to apply the business rules. So I'm going to point out here that this store procedure comes from the MDM schema. So technically, we really shouldn't be doing this. If you want to apply business rules to the table, you should do this through the WCF data service. All right, but because I know what I'm doing, and there's a number of blogs that talk about how to do this, so you see this is a little more involved. It has to look up key values for the current user, the model ID, version ID, then it passes them in. And there we see it within one script, I've automated that entire process. So it shouldn't be difficult to visualize how this would work in integration services. Get the data into the staging table, execute SQL task to fire these off, and you could automate that entire process. Now I'm a little concerned that I'm not getting any emails. This works sometimes and works, and if it works, it's sometimes slow. But you recall that if an IP address was invalid, that I'd asked it to email. All right, so I was really hoping some emails might come through here, but clearly not. All right, well, let's visually inspect by exploring the data for New Zealand. State province. And there we go. So I now have a total of 14 cities, with the last 11 having been loaded. We see here that this city ended up with a problem. The problem is defined down here, the IP address. So let's go ahead and fix it. That's how entity-based staging has been designed to work. Next topic is to do with version management. So upon creation of a version, the default status will be that it is open. It's open for business. Anybody that has appropriate permissions may connect to and manage or query the master data. Now, optionally, and I've never actually worked with this in a production environment, you can manage a life cycle of your master data. And you can also do this by using version flags, and it's easier for me to demonstrate than describe. But let's discuss the lifecycle first. That your model begins with an open status, this is the default. Authorized users can do authorized activities. At such point in time when you've defined that you want a consistent snapshot of your master data to be made available, you'll then go ahead and lock the version. And this is a preparation stage. It allows those with administrative permissions to go ahead and ensure that everything is ready and good to publish. At this stage, you must run the business rules and all members must have passed validation. At this stage, you can then proceed to the commit. And the commit is the point of no return. When you commit, you can't uncommit it. And optionally, at this point, you can assign a validation flag to it. You will see in a moment. And then you're typically going to copy this to become the next version with an open status that allows people to start getting it ready for its release. Now, the customers that I've worked with have chosen not to work with this. They're happy enough to work with the status of members that are either valid or not. All right, so we can query the master data in techniques you'll see in just a moment. And you can also filter out and say only if the validation status is successful are we going to consume this data. All right, therefore, they manage within a single version that is open at all times. Then in this example, Returning to the home page, we have version management. Ah, I got an email. Ta-da. All right, finally, a little slow, but the email here is telling me that a certain member from the city entity had a problem. And if I click on the link, it takes me straight to Master Data Manager, shows me the member, and then lets me fix it. Okay, so that's got to be pretty cool. If there is going to be invalid data loaded, you can be automatically notified. Back on track with the version management. Let me show you that again. Under version management, we see that the selection of a model, currently it's open, and then I'm going to go ahead and lock it in preparation for the commit. That's pretty straightforward. That means only administrators now can work with this. They're going to move across to validate version, and we see the statistics here of all of the members and the validation status, and everything is valid. If it wasn't, we'd have to leave here and go back and fix it. Because it's valid, I can go ahead and commit. Are you sure? Yes. Okay, there is a bug. The good news is it's a UI bug. So at this point, if you simply reload the page, you get this confirmation up here telling you, yes, the version was committed successfully. Now, at which point, when I switch back to manage the versions, you see that we have this committed version. But I want to do things a little more cleverly, because I recognize that I'm going to be releasing new versions periodically. I'm going to save myself some work by defining a flag. I'm going to define two of them. The first one will be the release one. Released to subscribers. The other one will be historic. Historic data not for subscription. So with these two flags defined, I come back to my versions, and then I update version one and say, this is the release version. Because I'm now going to copy this version, and it's going to become version two. And it now has the status of open. All right, by switching back to the main screen then, you can see that version one has a committed release status. That implies now that that's good for subscription. Version two, we're now in this open mode, good for business, good for making updates and changes. How do we get data out? So from an integration perspective, we looked at entity-based staging to load in. The approach and the only supported approach for retrieving data from master data services is via subscription views. All right, they are database views in the MDS repository. So they're like any other view within a SQL Server database, and each view can expose a particular version or a version flag out. The subscription view can include attributes, hierarchy levels, version name and flag, details about who and when, and validation status. One tip here, if you're using Power BI and the data catalog, you could catalog these views, and people could discover lists of master data, which are simply SQL Server views. Let's see how this works within this scenario. So back into Master Data Manager with integration management, there is the batch that I loaded before, by the way. I'm going to clear the batch. It's just history. Under Create Views, I create a view that's going to be named Geography. Which model? Which version or version flag? Now, the brilliance is that as we move forward in future versions, we just update the flag to say, this is the release version. And then we don't have to redo the subscription views. Using a derived hierarchy, Geography and all of its levels, and you have to tell it how many levels. Remember, a view has static columns, so we have to tell it how many levels deep to publish. We know it's three, and now I've created a view. And in fact, if you switch across to Management Studio and you look at your views, you will see it's right here. And selecting it has all of the columns, all of the details that describe your attributes, levels, entities, etc. All right, there's some more that I need to create. So back to geography, and this time it'll be country region. Copy. this model, always using the release version flag. This time this will be the country region entity. We only have leaf members, and that exposes all of those members as a view. Do the same thing for state province. And also for city. And lastly, the explicit hierarchy. So this will be named regions. And this time when I choose the sales territory region, because there's an explicit hierarchy, I can say I want explicit levels, and I know there's three deep that I'd be looking for. Five subscription views, that equals five SQL Server views, and this is what your ETL process would be querying from. So, switching back to Visual Studio, I had a certain objective, and that was to see New Zealand data flow through, in this point, from a master data solution. So I also have an integration services solution here as well. Let me go ahead and open up the package that is for the DIM sales territory. So every time we do an ETL process, we're going to load from the subscription view, update some logs, and process the corresponding object within the analysis services database. A closer look at the data flow here is retrieving directly from the subscription view. So a quick peek here with a preview. This is what the data looks like. Note that it's ragged, that the US has a third level, the others don't. So there's going to be some logic that says, if you find a null, repeat the member from above. And so you can easily handle that within the design of the package. I've also added in some data viewers. So let's take a look when I run the package and see what changes flow through. Okay, we see the addition of a sales territory called New Zealand. And then we see the successful processing of the dimension. So if I switch back to the salesperson dimension and reconnect, voila, New Zealand has arrived. Thank you, we have one person applauding. You're a New Zealander? Finally, we've fixed the AdventureWorks database. Let's take a look then at the second one, which is DIM geography. Same thing, we have logic here, but this time bringing in from the very base level, from city, and then we perform lookups against state name, country region, also a lookup against the sales territory. Data conversions are necessary because the code and name are Envarchar 250s. That doesn't match what AdventureWorks does. And then we'll detect new and changed. Wow, okay, so having a look at the changes, there are 43. Remember, I changed the state of Washington from northeast to northwest, so every city has changed. And in addition, we see New York with its updated IP address. And then we see the addition of the 14 New Zealand cities flowing through. Taking a look at then the geography dimension, reconnect, we have New Zealand, and we have the cities loaded into the data model. All right, objective achieved. That's the demonstration bringing it together and managing the solutions. I want to wrap up very quickly with a summary because I'd like to talk about what is coming new in 2016. The typical methodology involves typically administrators in the IT department that will install, configure, and perhaps create the model and designate permissions. They could then push to the business and those that know their data best the ability to manage entities and attributes, maybe also define business rules and hierarchies. IT may be involved then in initializing or synchronizing data from other systems through ETL processes and the like into their model, and exposing subscription views then for others to consume, including ETL processes. So opportunities and strengths, create master data hubs to standardize data within your organization. And key capabilities include the ability to import from anywhere, stage it and load it. Use business rules to protect the integrity of your data. Use notifications with alerts to notify of quality issues within your master data. And then empower a range of users with two different tools, the Excel add-in within the familiar tool on the desktop and Master Data Manager within the intranet. Any questions before we switch across?
Here's a question.
Yes, please.
Can you exploit the X and Y capabilities of SQL Server database?
Can you explore the what capabilities?
X and Y, so if you've only got coordinates rather than country code or...
So you're talking about spatial data. The question is, could we store spatial data? If you've got decimal latitude, decimal longitude, sure. You could store these as attribute values. So in my city entity, I could have longitude and latitude attributes. You would then place business rules to ensure the values were within minus 180 to positive 180. Yes, you could. Okay. What's new in SQL Server 2016 MDS? So I have to say that there's a lot of love in this release for master data services. And this is really, really great to see because I think there's many strengths and there's a lot of customer feedback that can make those strengths even better strengths. So under three different categories and focus areas, performance and scale has been a major problem as memberships have grown. And we're talking memberships above 100,000, certainly over a million. There have been in certain situations significant performance degradation. Modeling and management improvements and also security improvements. So massive improvements for scale. So supporting up to more than 100 million members is the objective, and they believe that they're going to meet this in 2016. 15x performance increase in Excel, faster entity-based staging, and faster security. So as your security becomes more complex, the caching and the application of that can slow things down. So they've tuned that as best they can also. When it comes to modeling and management, you can now control the transaction log retention settings. So it builds up an awful amount of history, and that history may not be relevant to you. You can choose to keep it indefinitely, or you may apply a policy at model level that will keep a certain number of days, and that will automatically clean up for you. The permissions for administrators has now been improved. So you can add or change existing service admins. There's also the addition of a super user, and the super user then is effectively, that's your sysadmin. Super user is sysadmin, and now you have administrators at model level also. All right, so there's more granular administrative delegation within a single instance. Better security permissions. So there are certain situations where you cannot achieve truly the most granular to control at a certain intersection of entity attribute values, and now you can. In response to customer feedback, there have been improvements to modeling, so increasing the attribute name length limit. I don't remember that ever being a problem, so I'm not exactly sure what that new limit is. You can add a display name per attribute now. So if you want a more friendly name for the attribute, that can now be defined. Special characters can be used, and the Excel add-in lets you also define how a constrained lookup should look like. Should it be the code with the name within braces? Should it be the name with the code within braces? And at a personal level, you can define what that is. Improvements to hierarchies. Well, the improvements are that they're deprecating explicit hierarchies. So remember my regions hierarchy? This will not be supported moving forward. So we would then need to break that into entities that are the levels of that hierarchy. I would need a group entity. I would need a country or sales territory country level, and then a region entity, and then create a derived hierarchy. So the reason they're subtracting this is it creates other complexities that limit the ability for them to do other things within the product. And their customer feedback was that there isn't a huge uptake on this feature. So at the sacrifice of it, they're going to be able to do some other things. That's the best message I can give you at this stage. Improved model deployment. And then here we see so far in public preview 2.2. Now, when I wrote this presentation, that was a week ago, 2.3 was released on the weekend. So you get this today in public preview. Let me point out a couple of other things. Indexes can be applied on attributes or groups of attributes, and also unique indexes. We have historical data management, so type 2 changes can now be managed. So when someone modifies that this country now belongs to, or this state belongs to Northwest, not Northeast, and that's a legitimate change, you can manage this as a type 2 change. Entity sharing and sync. So within the same instance, if that geography needed to be used by other entities within other models, you can sync geography into another model of the same instance. All right, and that was a common problem. We wanted reuse of an entity. We didn't want to have to repeat that just for the purpose of another deployment. Coming in 2.3, which has come on the weekend, many-to-many relationships. So in a derived hierarchy, if you have an intermediary, okay, so we have, what is it? Maybe a state belongs to multiple sales territory regions. If you have a bridging entity that defines that, and you use that as a level of a derived hierarchy, it will provide you a many-to-many experience. Business rule management, I think it's a bit clunky. As I've demonstrated to you, it's not the easiest thing to use. Haven't seen this yet because the Excel add-in has not yet been released for CTP 2.3, but it will be available to you in Excel. And then there's merge conflict resolution. That at the moment, it is last in wins, and now you can detect where you've got multiple updates happening and choose who the winner would be. So a quick glance at some of, look at this. It's pretty much the same functionality, but it's got a more zappy look and feel. A couple of things to point out when I come into system administration, when you go ahead and create a new model, you'll be asked what the logging retention is. When you manage your entities, you will see that explicit is deprecated. So while it's there for now, I'm not sure if that is going to be removed. Custom indexes can be defined here against the attributes. When you edit Leaf members, you have the ability to enable change tracking. In Excel, when you have a look at the options, you have the ability to determine how to display those constrained members. That's just a taste. And in public previews are available for you to download and experiment with today. So wrapping up pretty much on time, I'm impressed. I know it's been a gallop to get through so much content and to tell the end-to-end story. For more details, Microsoft's website keeps you up to date. This is the one and only book that really is the end-to-end story. So Tyler Graham was the program manager with Microsoft at the time of the 2008 R2 and 2012 releases. His book truly is end-to-end. So if there's one publication, if you want to really learn this product, it's his. They also produce a series of videos, so they're available to watch free online. There's What's Up and Coming with SQL Server 2016. And Matt Mason, so a program manager with Microsoft and on the MDS team, he did a session on what is new in MDS and SSIS, but it's probably a little dated by now. But to hear it from the engineering group direct, there is the Ignite Conference from Chicago session available. Are there any questions before I wrap up? More than happy to take one or two before we finish up. Is the only use case data warehouses? No, and I'm glad you asked this. So in some solutions that I do, like a reporting solution, and I want to control configuration values that are used, and I reuse them across the reporting logic, if they have MDS installed or I can convince them to install it, I would rather that logic or that business, those configuration name value pairs are maintained here. All right, so you'll find that perhaps this is one way to think about it. The SharePoint list gives end users the ability to store ad hoc data. From an IT professional, if you need to store, maintain, secure, and track history of supplementary data, this could be used as well. It does not have to form the part or an architecture design of a data warehouse. That's what it's principally designed for, but use it for anything that makes sense. All right, I'm going to wrap up at that stage. I'll encourage any questions offline. I'll remind you about the resources available on TechNet at the Virtual Academy and Channel 9. Please, please, please take the time and effort to complete the evaluations. You have the chance to win some amazing prize. I don't know what it is. But I'll thank you very much for your time, attendance, and interest in this product, and wish you all the best with the MDS adventures. Thank you.